of the government's explanation, and it's very important for us to start investigating this and to realize that apparently there was a directed energy weapon used on the Twin Towers in order to not only test it out. Apparently they're now doing similar things in Iraq, as Dr. Judy Wood has shown on her excellent DVD that Andrew Young sent me, where she compares what cars look like at the 9/11 site to cars in Iraq. And you see, that's what they do, folks. They experiment on us, and then they use these weapons on others. And we're paying for this. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back with What's Ailing America, where today our answer is disinformation specialists to mislead those seeking the truth. And before I bring on my special guest, Andrew Young from the UK, I want to just read what I wrote to my list that I sent out in regards to this show. Not only do all lies lead to the truth, but the truth exposes who the liars are. For when the intentional disinformers are confronted with truth, if they reply with a deafening silence or try the sidebar technique to distract from the truth, they become emperors with no clothes. And those individuals are a huge part of the problem, as they put the masses now seeking the truth into confusion and cause them to be divided into different camps, the old divide and conquer strategy. Of course, people's pride then comes into play. Once they have chosen what they believe about any issue, they don't want to allow subsequent facts which come to light to change their beliefs. Rather, they will do all they can to convince others that what they know is the truth, and that is how we have gotten into this mess. This situation is most obvious today in terms of those speaking about 9/11 and vaccines. On today's show, I will be speaking with an associate of Dr. Judy Wood, Andrew Young from the UK, to discuss the disinformers regarding 9/11. If anyone really wants to know the truth, they first must be able to admit they were wrong when they believed the lies. One of the hardest times in my life was when I had to face the fact that the profession I was so proud to become a part of is, in fact, causing disease and death instead. Once I had accepted that self-evident truth, it was my conscience which caused me to not only abandon the Rat Pack, but shine a light on their true agenda of genocide and depopulation. Speaking the truth is what has brought others into my life who are doing the same no matter the cost. It is also what will expose those causing confusion intentionally. And I just want to read a scripture from Psalms 36, 12, and 13. The Lord is laughing at those who plot against the godly, for he knows their judgment day is coming. Evil men take aim to slay the poor. They are ready to butcher those who do right. But their swords will be plunged into their own hearts, and all their weapons will be broken. And let's get that day coming as fast as possible, folks. This is a bio about my guest, Andrew Johnson. He graduated with a bachelor's in computer science and physics and has a background in software engineering and telecommunications and process control. He also has experience in adult education, and now he works as a student assessor and part-time tutor for the Open University in the UK. He became interested in 9/11 research in 2004 and has been trying to understand, with the help of people like Dr. Morgan Reynolds and Dr. Judy Wood, both what happened on that day and how the 9/11 cover-up has been working ever since. He has written and posted various articles about 9/11 and other topics on his website, checktheevidence.com. As I mentioned, Dr. Judy Wood's website is drjudywood.com. And if you're on my list, check your emails, because I also sent all of you a YouTube video that Andrew Young put together in regards to asking the question about what caused two of the holes in the World Trade Center. It's a real quick YouTube video that you can watch that asks some very intriguing questions. Let me also say that Andrew has sent me a number of DVDs that he has put together, which are outstanding. I send those out to all my clients. I've sent them out to a number of public access producers, especially in New York, to air on public access television. And if any of you are interested in getting copies of those, please give me a call. All I ask is that you send in a donation to cover the cost of the mailing and the materials, etc. But we need to get these in the hands of as many people as possible, because, you see, this evidence is self-evident fact, and it's the best explanation and information I've ever seen in regards to what actually happened to the Twin Towers on September 11th, 2001. So that said, let me bring on our guest. Are you there, Andrew?
I'm here, yes.
Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's my pleasure. And let me first ask you, what are the people's reactions in the UK in regards to 9/11? Are their eyes opening up faster than is happening here in the States?
Well, I think it's probably overall pretty much on the same sort of level per capita, if I could put it like that, as in the States. We've got a very similar situation over here, whereby the mainstream news doesn't really cover any of the alternative explanations other than the government explanation. We've had one or two documentaries, which I know that History Channel has, for instance, some documentaries. So it's overall it's a very similar situation. We do have groups of people here who are attempting to put on presentations and events and distribute leaflets and DVDs, but in many cases, in the majority of cases, it falls into line with how you were describing in your introduction, how it seems that most of the people have been led down the disinformation path of 9/11, and so they're actually exposing the first layer of the cover-up and not the second, if I can put it like that.
Yes.
So that's the way I see things and the way I've documented things or tried to document things. I'd just like to thank you for taking the DVDs and looking at them, and taking the action that you have, because I think that's going to turn out to be absolutely invaluable in the future.
Oh, there's no question. And as a matter of fact, I am so appreciative that you and Dr. Wood and Dr. Morgan Reynolds and the attorney Jerry Liebhardt, who brought the QI-TAM motion, and you need to read about that, folks, at Dr. Judy Wood's website, basically trying to help the government get their money's worth, since the individuals that investigated why the towers collapsed obviously had a conflict of interest. You need to see these DVDs. They're critical. And it's very interesting. In that very important, my favorite DVD that you sent me is the one that has the interviews of the presentations of Dr. Wood, Dr. Reynolds, and Jerry Liebhardt. And in that DVD, they talk about, Jerry Liebhardt talks about the different tribes that are involved in 9/11. And this is, of course, how they do this divide and conquer strategy. You have what he calls the Thermite tribe. And that would be the controlled demolition groups. And then you have the Pod tribe. And that goes along with Joyce Riley and Dave Von Kleist in regards to their video in plain sight, where they're claiming that these were, government planes that had pods on that were used to give, bombs or whatever to the centers and bring them down. And then you have the directed energy tribe and the Pentagon tribe. And you have all these different tribes of people. And they all want to believe that they're correct. As I said, they don't want to consider other evidence and realize that they were even misled by whoever told them that information. Because once enough of us have open minds enough to say, okay, this is what I believed, but maybe I was wrong. Let me check out something else. And once enough of us do that, we will realize the intensity of this. Because, of course, the reason that Dr. Judy Wood's evaluation of what happened on 9/11 is so important is because this shows us not only that they have developed what's called directed energy weapons that are so powerful that they could bring down these twin towers, actually dustify them, and then create this hole that still to this day has not been able to be healed enough where anything else can be built there, because apparently it's still bubbling and there's all kinds of molecules dissociated, not being able to come back together again. But the horrifying fact that they would do this to their own people and then use that as an excuse to start these unholy wars that are, of course, devastating the Middle East and costing us billions and billions of dollars. And now, of course, the United States is on the verge of bankruptcy. And, of course, that also affects the rest of the world. And I'm very glad that people in the UK are checking things out. Of course, your country was sucked into the war, just like ours was, by the powers that be.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's a few things that you touched on there. I think what I'd like to start off by saying is that I was essentially led down the, if we look at the destruction of the towers, I was led down the controlled demolition path some years ago, and it took me a while to kind of reevaluate the evidence. And in fact, that I only did that once I'd come across a paper by Dr. Morgan Reynolds and Dr. Judy Wood, and I ended up getting in touch with Dr. Reynolds because I'd been involved in making a video, a short video. You know, you mentioned in the introduction I'd sent out a little video to you, and that's what I do. You know, I make these little videos from time to time, and indeed I'd done this in relation to this Steve Jones character, and you know, I tried to help him by making this video. And I think it's important to realize how this is working, because, you know, you start off with good intentions and you assume that someone like Steve Jones is trustworthy, and you can't believe that people are coming forward telling you that they're speaking the truth about something about 9/11, and they're already saying, you know, it was terrible what the government did, and, you know, they're saying things like this, and they're making all the right motions, and yet they're actually part of the cover-up.
Exactly.
You know, this is what's so difficult, and it was difficult for me to accept this. I couldn't at first believe this. I thought, well, this is not right. There must be something wrong with me or something wrong with the information I've been given. But over a period of about 6 months or so, something like that, I realized that this was exactly what had happened. And then I learned, for example, of Steve Jones's connections to the energy cover-up. And so once I'd learned about that, then I began to see, you know, where things were leading. And in fact, they were leading into areas that I'd already researched separately. You know, things like cold fusion. I was interested in cold fusion for since it first appeared in the late 80s, you know, so I knew about that already. So to see the link to 9/11, I thought, well, this is very important. And
okay, Andrew, hold it there. We're going to a break. Okay. We'll be right back. This is very important. We'll continue on the other side. Stay tuned, folks. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is disinfo specialists to mislead those seeking the truth, with my special guest, Andrew Johnson, from the UK. And before the break, Andrew, you were talking about Steve Jones being a part of the free energy cover-up. I want the listeners to realize that this disaster leads us to the good news, that there is something called free energy available. This is something that's been around for over 100 years. This goes back to Nikola Tesla. And as these minions always do, they take something which could give the entire Earth free energy. We don't need oil. We don't need electrical lines. We don't need any of these things. And they have corrupted it and developed a way to use it for evil intentions. And this is why this entire disinformation aspect has come up in regards to the demolition disinfo. Is that correct? Corrupt, Andrew, because they don't want people to know that this type of technology exists.
Absolutely, and I think that brings us to the point that you wish to discuss, which is things like, why wasn't it controlled demolition at the World Trade Center?
Yes.
And what's the difference between things like kinetic weapons and directed energy weapons? And basically what kinetic means is it means moving, movement, and with kinetic weapons it means something like a projectile, a shell. So a tank has a kinetic weapon because it fires a large projectile, and it, you know, the thing is that if you have a heavy object traveling very, very quickly, you know, 1,000 miles an hour or 1,500 miles an hour, when it hits something, the energy of movement is converted into a destructive force which blows things apart. So, you know, Dr. Wood has a simpler way of describing it, where she says that, you know, you fire a projectile, it hits something, and chunks go flying. So stuff goes flying in all directions from where the projectile hits.
And that would also include something like a plane hitting a building.
Correct. You're talking about, in the official version, plane being used as a projectile, as a kinetic weapon to change its energy of movement, and the energy which is contained in its movement, and it's also a product of its mass, the weight, in other words, and that crashes into something and causes destruction. And we were told that the planes, you know, the kinetic energy from the planes contributed to the destruction of the towers. That was the official story. Now, in a slightly different version of that story is that there were bombs planted in the building, and they don't have kinetic energy, you know, initially. It's only when they start to explode. In other words, you light a fuse, some chemicals burn or react inside the bomb. That burning energy is converted into an explosive energy, which is a kinetic energy again, with chunks of the bomb going flying and the heat and the air, and that will cause whatever the bomb is in to also explode. And I used to believe this story. I used to think, well, yes, it does look like bombs in the building, you know, and we were all shown these pictures of the squibs in the towers, you know, these little clouds coming out of the side, and everyone saying, well, look, that's the explosives going off. And I thought, yeah, it is the explosives going off. But then, thankfully, when Dr. Wood had posted her study, and she began to change the focus, really, and look at two things: the amount of dust and the actual, you know, remains of the building. I mean, for example, one of the things that I try to point out to people is if you think of the Second World War, and you look at the archive footage of somewhere like Dresden in Germany, which was just completely bombed, you know, to smithereens by the Allies, many bombs going off. But yet you can still see the shells of various buildings. You know, admittedly they're very badly damaged and almost not there, but you can still see standing structures. And if we had bombs in the building, we just would not have seen that amount of dust, you know, dust, the dustification, we wouldn't have seen it in that manner. And to blow apart steel girders and turn them completely into dust, which is what we saw, bombs cannot do that. Conventional bombs cannot do that. It's just not possible for bombs to do that because they make larger chunks. In a nutshell, you know, the bombs that are put in the building, if they were there, when they'd gone off, they would have been larger chunks, and you would have heard them much more as well. And the thing that I try and point out to people is that if you actually look at the videos of the towers actually coming down, now I'm not talking about before they came down, because there does appear to have been some explosions before they came down, from various witnesses. For myself, I'm not entirely sure what those explosions were. But if you look at the towers actually coming down, you do not hear or see any individual explosions. You hear a rumbling sound as those towers are turning to dust, a rushing sound, but you don't see bright flashes of light. And you don't hear individual explosions.
So, well, I would just like to add that knowing now what I know from Dr. Wood's research, I would suspect that those flashes going off before the towers came down could have possibly been their plan so that they could bring forth a controlled demolition explanation. I'm sure these people planned out this whole thing. They've been able to pull that off, because you do see flashes going off. Okay, I hear the music again. We'll be back after the break. I encourage you all to put What Made the Holes in the WTC Towers into YouTube to see Andrew Young's excellent YouTube video about this subject. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is disinfo specialists to mislead those seeking the truth. With my special guest, Andrew Johnson from the UK. We have a caller on the line, but before I bring the caller on, I just want to give you an opportunity, Andrew, to finish your explanation as to kinetic versus directed energy weapons. And I just want to say it was so amazing in one of the DVDs you sent me to see that little excerpt of Donald Rumsfeld talking to the press and answering the question as to whether or not these directed energy weapons have been developed and whether or not they're using them. And he says something to the effect, well, things are happening, they're developing these things, and, you know, we might decide to try something out before it's completely developed, before we officially use it. I mean, basically, they do tell us what they're doing, but it's just so hidden, you have to have eyes to see and ears to hear in order to pick these little facts out.
Yes, I think you very much have to be on your toes and look for what is being said, you know, between the words, as it were.
Yes.
In that particular instance, he was talking about the use of, as you mentioned earlier, of directed energy weapons in Iraq. And I think it's worth mentioning at this point that there seem to be different classes of these energy weapons. Some of them, in fact, you know, you can go on to the Northrop Grumman website, the big defense contractor, and put in the MTHEL, the Mobile Tactical High Energy Laser, and that is like a conventional laser system which they have developed to take out warheads in flight, or not warheads, but missile shells in flight, and they have a demonstration of this. You can YouTube a video of it. And this is a working system. I think it came out probably 3 or 4 years ago. But it's really what I would call conventional physics. And it uses the laser to heat up the target until it explodes. So in that respect, although it is a directed energy weapon, we still think that that something different to that was employed in the destruction of the World Trade Center. So it's worth mentioning that, yes, definitely directed energy weapons exist. They're in service as we speak, but we think that we're looking at a different class of weapon that was used at the World Trade Center.
Well, there's no question. I just want to say Dr. Wood calls this the new Hiroshima instead of the new Pearl Harbor, as some people have called 9/11 before. And when you actually look at those visuals of the towers coming down, with her information, it's truly amazing, because, as she said, the towers just disappear. They become dust. And she talks about molecular disassociation, and that's obviously what's causing it. What energy they use to do that, obviously nobody, on the side of the good guys knows, but it's obviously some very high-level Tesla technology, and I'm sure it's something similar to what they do to create earthquakes and tsunamis and other things that they're able to do with the HARP machine. There's so many technologies that they've developed that they're using against the people of the Earth and the Earth itself. The people involved in your circle, you don't actually have a name for the weapon that you think caused this dustification. Is that correct?
That's correct. We don't have a name for it. I don't have a name for it, and we don't have the serial numbers. We don't know who, we don't know who developed it. We have suspicions as to who might have developed some of the technology, but we can't, you know, say any more than that. We don't know who operated it. We don't know where it is. Again, we have suspicions as to where some of it might be. I suspect it's in several sort of different locations, and these were coordinated into doing that event. So there are still a lot of unanswered questions, but what we can say with a lot of confidence, what I can say with a lot of confidence, is that the fingerprint of the weapon is very similar to the technology that's been developed by John Hutchison.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, if you going back to what you were saying about those, when confronted with the truth, you know, when they go silent, you know, I can't remember the exact words, but it was something similar to that. We've confronted various people with this evidence and with these statements, and they've gone silent, and that tells us, you know, that we're over the target. The flak is strongest when we're over the target, and I really think that this is one of the key nexus points, if you will, in everything that you've described about how we're being lied to, and everything is being twisted. Energy, for example, is one of the key control mechanisms to control people. It prevents us from having individual freedom, because we always have an energy budget to work to, as much as a financial budget. And each of us has an infinite energy budget to work to, we can do anything. We can do anything. We can't be controlled.
Exactly.
And that's one of the keys. And also, if we have, you know, as you know, if each of us has the key to infinite health, if I can put it like that, that's the other barrier. You know, once that, if you can always have good health by having access to the right, foods and the right supplements,
and not being forced to be inoculated with disease. And I want to just say, because the callers are really starting to line up here, we're going to have to get to some of them. But I just want to say, that is why I felt such a strong bond to Dr. Judy Wood, because not only are the people that are giving out this misleading information going silent when confronted with Dr. Wood's research and John Hutchinson's research, but they're also attacking the messengers. And this is a very similar thing to what I've experienced. The people that are saying things to this level are crazy. You know, they have to attack the messenger rather than discuss the evidence at hand. And this is a very big sign to the people to realize that people are over the target. And you have to understand that these levels of disinformation specialists are put in on purpose, and this is part of the problem that we have to deal with, as I said at the beginning of the show. Let me get to some of these callers. We have JG from California. Are you there, JG?
Good afternoon, Dr. Carley.
Hello.
Professor Young, good afternoon, sir.
Andrew Johnson, yes, sorry. I'm not a professor.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. If I said Young, I'm sorry. It's Andrew Johnson. Go ahead.
Yeah, Johnson, yes, sir. The question I had was, I watched a couple of years ago on C-SPAN, which covered Ed Begley and Alex Jones' conference at Anaheim Convention Center. Are you familiar with that, either one of you?
I'm not familiar with that.
I'm familiar with Ed Begley because he was on Jimmy Walters' DVD called Confronting the Evidence, which was made in 2004. And so I'm familiar with that, but not that exact event that you mentioned, no.
Yeah, they had a conference with Colonel Bob Bowman, Webster Tarpley, a couple other authors, and, you know, fighter pilots. And they said they had two pieces of metal from the World Trade Towers. They found thermite, which is a chemical that burns with sulfur, and that was their inference about what buckled the towers. Now, how do you comment on that?
I'll make several comments about that. This supposed thermite evidence, which I thought was valid initially, when you actually put it under further scrutiny, it doesn't really explain anything, if anything at all. And I think I can go into a bit more detail, but what I would like to say, and you can check this out for yourself, is the one of the groups which says that thermite was involved in the destruction of the towers is Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. AE911.org or something, if you go and Google it. This is a group headed by a chap called Richard Gage, who claim that Stephen Jones' research proves that thermite, some combination thereof, was used to destroy the towers. Now, as you may know, Dr. Wood submitted a request for correction to NIST, in which she pointed out the areas where the NIST reports on the destruction of the World Trade Center were fraudulent. Following her submission of this request for correction in March or April 2007, I may have the date wrong, but it was around that time, I think. But basically, Richard Gage and a few other people, James Gourley and Stephen E. Jones, contributed to this. They submitted an RFC, but in that RFC, they did not mention thermite or thermate. In other words, they weren't prepared to put on the table their thermite and thermate evidence to criticize NIST for their fraudulent reports. However, Dr. Wood's RFC did include all the evidence that she had at that time that directed energy weapons were used to destroy the World Trade Center. So my point is, if you're making a legal challenge based on evidence and you are not happy to put the evidence you talk about the most into that legal challenge, then that gives me a problem, because it tells me that you are not confident about the evidence, whereas Dr. Wood's challenge did include all the evidence that she had about directed energy weapons. We haven't seen any of this dust that supposedly got the thermite in it tested by anyone else other than Steve Jones. He recently said, I think it was May this year, he now suspects that they may have used paint on thermite. He said that on the Air America program. I have a recording of that. So he was saying that they could have put this paint on thermite in the towers over a period of weeks to destroy them. Now, I've never heard of paint on thermite, and I don't think it exists. So,
well, not only that, but how would thermite, whether it's paint on or any other type, as we were discussing, cause the towers to turn to dust? As you were saying, that would be an explosive situation, and you would have chunks of the building falling, not dust particles.
Well, that's right. I mean, there's two issues there. One is that Steve Jones was initially, it was pointed out to him that thermite is what's called an incendiary. An incendiary means that it burns. It doesn't explode. You know, much like you see these, you know, fuse to a bomb, when you light that fuse, it burns and then goes towards the bomb. That's, you know, incendiary means burning. It doesn't mean explosive. So he then changed his story and said, oh, well, it was probably super thermite, which is this special military grade thermite, which I've never really seen used. So he changed the story. And he said that thermite is explosive. So again, we've got the changing story, the evolving story. But then, you know, how is this going to turn everything to dust? It doesn't turn things to dust. It's actually thermite itself is a welding material. You know, when you subject this to closer scrutiny, it just does not add up. It does not add up. He's not published his evidence or allowed it to be studied independently. He's not given anyone else this dust sample. The dust sample was collected 5 years, I think, after the event from somebody's window ledge. We don't know the chain of custody, so it wouldn't be admissible as core evidence. All kinds of problems with that if you scrutinize it.
And I would just like to mention another obvious fact. The fact that these people were allowed to be on C-SPAN tells me that this is information that the government wants to get out. C-SPAN is totally government controlled. Anybody that watches Washington Journal in the mornings, as I often do, and hears listeners call in, the people that are handling the interviewers always direct them as to what aspect of the question to answer. If any hard questions are asked, they are actually not allowed to answer those hard questions. So this
yes.
is further evidence that they want the people to hear about this demolition aspect. If they have questions, and obviously more and more people in this country, the majority of people in America, know that something happened at 9/11 that we're not being told about. So they would rather have us believe that they brought down the towers to cause the war than the fact that they have these high-level weapons that they've experimented right. on with us in order to do so.
Correct. And I think, you know, I'll add to that if they can keep people in the bombs in the building, you know, scenario for the towers, that's fine, because everyone knows about bombs, and some people have tried to say it was nuclear explosives which destroyed the towers. This is another kind of thread of disinformation which they put out. And I've got a little article about that on my website if anyone wants to go and read it. But basically they're trying to say because of the level of destruction, it must have been a nuclear bomb. But we know we saw no effects which were like a nuclear bomb. We saw no bright flashes. There were no enormously loud explosions. There was no firestorm. It was in the middle of New York. People weren't, you know, turned to vapor. There was no obvious high heat. If you look at Dr. Wood's presentations, no evidence of high heat. And in fact, I wanted to say that earlier on, that the heat issue is a key issue for them. They want you to think that there was a lot of heat at the World Trade Center. One of the little phrases that's been implanted is the molten metal under the World Trade Center for 99 days. Not 98 days, not 100 days, 99 days is the figure that's commonly quoted. And that's a 33 number, which I think is significant. But all that aside, if you look at the evidence for the molten metal for 99 days, it just, again, doesn't stand up to scrutiny, as Dr. Wood has pointed out, with the hosing down of the site, which would have generated steam explosions. They say that boots were melting on the site when people walked across it. Not true, because the feet weren't cooked. We've got the hydraulics of the grabber arms that were picking through the debris. They would have seized up if there was high heat. People were engulfed by the dust cloud as the towers came down, but they didn't fry, they didn't burn. In fact, they carried on filming and were breathing afterwards. On and on.
Yes, and I would like to also mention, in terms of Alex Jones is also a disinformer in regards to the cause of autism. He's pushing that mercury causes autism scam, and the reason for that is because they want people to believe that if they take the mercury out of vaccines yeah. will be safe, and a bigger lie has never been told. And perhaps one day soon I'll do a show on the disinformers in regards to the vaccination situation, because that's just as complicated as the 9/11 situation. Okay, we have so many callers on the line. Thank you, JG, for calling in. Patrick from Florida, are you there?
Hey, I'm here. How you doing today, Dr. Carley?
Okay.
Well, first of all, I agree with both of you that 9/11 was an inside job, and we're never going to know the true story of what happened until these criminals are on trial. But I'd like to bring up one point, and I don't know what camp your guest is in, because there's so many different camps. But I've heard many of them say before that there were no planes involved on 9/11, that there were holograms.
Well, it's very funny that you would say that, because I see we have another very special caller right after you, Artie Wheeler from Baltimore, and I've done shows with him on the past, and he has evidence about that, so we can bring him on.
Can I comment on that?
Pardon me?
Can I comment on it? But I just wanted to say what I saw.
Yes, I was going to let you comment. Yes, please do.
Okay. If there were no planes on 9/11, by the way, my wife and I and my sister-in-law were on the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway going to, I had a contract in Brooklyn. I was working for a security company doing alarm systems. I was on the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway and saw the second plane hit the South Tower. I was too late to see the first tower get hit. I was just rounding the southern part of Brooklyn. We saw it smoking, so we didn't see that, of course. But I did see the second plane connect in real life, front row seat on the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway. Now, if there were no planes that day, what did I see? Did I see a hologram in real life?
Okay, I hear the music. Let's go to the break, and after the break, we'll let Andrew Johnson answer the question. We'll be right back. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is disinfo specialist, my special guest, Andrew Johnson. And this is a short segment, Andrew, before we go to the second hour. So if you could just start to answer Patrick's question, and then we'll come back after the break and continue.
Okay. I just got it's a question for Patrick. How far were you from the towers, you think, roughly, when you were on the Brooklyn Queens?
That's a good question. I was right across the East River on the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway, which is the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway is right on the edge of Brooklyn, which looks right over into Manhattan. It was basically a front row seat of seeing that plane. First of all, I saw the plane banking in, and I was thinking, what is a jet doing flying this low in around Manhattan?
Okay.
And when it hit the building, my first inclination was to think, what is that, a firefighting mission to try to stop the fire? And then when I didn't see it come out of the other side, I thought, oh my God, it was on purpose. So I was basically a front row seat of seeing this plane hit.
Maybe something like a mile, about that, or half,
you know,
half a mile.
Yeah, however far the BQE is away from Manhattan, it could have been a mile or two, but it was
definitely
an in-your-face visual.
Right. And did you hear anything?
Well, no, because my windows were rolled up. I did not hear anything.
Right. You're in the car. Yeah, I mean, yours is a very interesting account, and actually, you know, you're quite rare in that you actually describe seeing the plane. And this is, I have done quite a bit of research into this. It may get cut off by the break. And what I did was I downloaded 500 first responder accounts from the New York Times website of all the emergency service people who went, you know, actually to the World Trade Center when the disaster happened. And I looked through those accounts using keyword searches to find what they were saying about the planes. And indeed, some of them did describe seeing a plane crash into the World Trade Center. But if you read through all these accounts, and I've got quite a long report on this on my website, if you search through there for it, you will find an article about this. You have some witnesses who say that they saw the plane. They actually have one witness who was standing underneath where the plane hit and was looking up at the fireball, but he describes in his account that he heard no sound. He heard no sound. Other witnesses do describe the sound, and actually, 20% of the 117 that I found at the World Trade Center, who were within about half a mile of the World Trade Center buildings, 117 people, only 20% of those actually saw the plane. and also only about the same number, 20%, heard the plane, and only 8% of them actually saw and heard the plane, and they were actually, you know, right at the scene. These are the first responder accounts. You know, you can go and trawl through these accounts yourself if you want to check this. So this was very, very peculiar, and we actually have probably a similar number of witnesses describing the sound of these F-15 or F-16 jets at the end of the day, as those who actually supposedly heard the Boeing jets, which were, in theory should be much louder. So it's actually very, very peculiar if you really look at the available witness testimony.
Are you saying I saw a hologram?
Okay, wait, hold on, Patrick, because I hear the music. We're going to the break. After the break, I would like to bring another guest on, to, or another listener on, to answer that question, and we'll come back to you, Patrick. Okay. Stay tuned. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is disinformation specialist, my special guest, Andrew Johnson from the UK. And before the break, Patrick from Florida was asking about what the plane was that he saw going into the World Trade Center on September 11th, 9/11. And Dr. Morgan Reynolds has a whole section on this DVD entitled What Planes, that goes into this in great detail. But I'd like to bring on a caller. I'm very happy to see Artie Wheeler from Baltimore calling in. I did radio shows with Artie Wheeler a number of years ago when I lived in Florida. And Artie Wheeler has been researching this very aspect for years. Are you there, Artie?
Hello, ma'am. How are you?
I'm so happy to hear from you that the White Coats haven't killed you yet.
Well,
I know they've been trying.
To hear your voice, Dr. Carley.
Well, this is perfect timing.
The reason I called your show is because all the people out there need to be clued in on what actually happened. There's a bunch of mumbo-jumbo put out by the government and by institutions, but I'm going to set you folks straight. There were no planes that flew into the World Trade Center tower buildings. What you people saw were scalar hologram images, a high-tech light show. The machine that produces these images is on every B-1 bomber and every B-2 plane, and it's been on them for about 19 years. It projects out a super-powered scalar light ray image into the front and to the sides of the plane, and that's what the enemy anti-aircraft shoot their rockets and the machine guns at. And I have a strong suspicion that Tomahawk cruise missiles were inside the scalar images as a covering cloaking device. And let me tell you, dear, they come in, you know, and stole my guns, the cops did, so I had to have a different hobby. Well, I took up computers, and they destroyed one of my computers, and I took it down to the shop, and they said, well, this computer's been destroyed, Mr. Wheeler, look at the motherboard on it. So I said, well, I tell you what, boys, keep the computer, and I'll build computers. Well, one of the computers I built, I put a device on there that you can speed up and slow down videos that come off vision. Well, I'm sure all of you folks out there have seen the fireball on the side of the World Trade Center tower building probably 1,000 times. Well, I slowed that video down to about 1/5 of its speed, and a Tomahawk cruise missile came out of the fireball and flew by the South World Trade Center tower building and then flew off into the air. Well, I showed that to a Secret Service agent that came over to my house. They've been over here 4 different times. And he said, Mr. Wheeler, there's something I think I should tell you, sir. And I said, well, sir, go right ahead. This is a free speech house. You can say anything you want to here. And he said, Mr. Wheeler, before I joined the Secret Service, I was in the Navy for 6 years. I'm a Tomahawk cruise missile specialist. I worked on Tomahawks, and I flew them. And then he said, Mr. Wheeler, that is most definitely a Tomahawk cruise missile that came out of that fireball. And I'm going to say something that might blow your mind. That missile just dropped its booster engine. And I said, what? Let me play that clip back again. Well, it was about a 15-second clip. And sure enough, you could see the black smoke that come out of the missile where it dropped its booster engine. And, of course, the booster engine has a chemical propellant which makes a black smoke. Anyway, I was flabbergasted. And what I wanted to tell you people is that Scalar Hologram Images, a high-tech light show, was shined into the sky, and the machine that produced it was set up in Ann Tatlock's office. She had two full floors on the number 2 World Trade Center Tower building. 86 of her employees were killed. Now, one more little thing.
Okay, wait. Artie, I hear the music. Please hold on because we need to hear the rest of what you're going to tell us.
Okay.
We'll be right back after the break, folks. Stay tuned. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is disinfo specialist with my special guest, Andrew Johnson from the UK. And we have Artie Wheeler on the line from Baltimore. Artie and I did shows years ago, and I know Artie has researched this subject tremendously. As a matter of fact, before you continue talking about this Ann Tatlock and the fact that that's where the holographic images emanated from and how you know that, I just want to ask you, are you still making available your research to the public? Can people still obtain the book that you wrote about this subject?
Yes, ma'am, Dr. Carley. Any person that wants the CD and DVD is perfectly welcome to drop me a card or call me, and I will be happy to send them one for free, and they can play it on CD or DVD player, and it has videos showing the Tomahawk cruise missile come out of the fireball, and I think they'll find it quite interesting. Ma'am, there's one more little thing.
Okay, wait, you have to give your contact information, your address and or your phone number.
All right, ma'am, my address is 512 Southeast Avenue, Baltimore, Maryland, 21124. It is 512 Southeast Avenue, Baltimore, Maryland, 21224 is the zip, and my phone number is 1-410-327-4522. That is 1-410-327-4522. How's that, ma'am?
That's wonderful, and I hope Patrick from Florida will contact you and get a copy of that. He's off the line now. But
well,
yes, please,
ma'am,
please,
there's one more little tiny thing I need to tell the people here.
Well, before you do, please tell the listeners, because it's so interesting, and we've gone into this in hours on other shows, but how did you come to discover this Ann Tatlock, that she, her office is where this image emanated from, and who is this person?
Well, ma'am, I'm a tool and die maker, precision machinist, and tool and die designer. I've worked for 20 years on tooling and fixtures made for the Tomahawk cruise missile when I lived in El Monte, California, and Portland, Oregon, and I've also worked for about the same length of time on tooling and fixtures for the Boeing 767 airliner, which they claim hit the number 2 and number 1 World Trade Center Tower buildings. And the first time I saw this, I was amazed that the plane came all the way through one of the buildings with no damage whatsoever. The floors of the building are 11 feet 8 inches apart, and the plane is 16.6 feet tall. They are 4-inch reinforced concrete. There is no possible way the plane could have hit that building without turning into confetti. That's how I knew right then that it was a bogus light show image. And the outside of the plane coming through the building was made up by NBC. Yes, that's right. The National Broadcasting Company made up the image. And what I would like to say, ma'am, one more little thing. About 2.5 years ago, I called up the machine shop superintendent of the National Security Agency down here at Fort Meade. He's a friend of mine. I'm not going to call his name out over the telephone because I don't want him to get fired. But he said to me, ma'am, he said, "Lord have mercy, Artie Wheeler, I haven't heard from you in 15 years. I'm afraid to even ask what you want. What in the hell did you do that those cops destroyed your home and tortured your wife there in Baltimore and put you in jail for 4 months? I said, "Oh, Billy, I just told different people that the Bushes, the Clintons, and the Israeli Mossad planned and orchestrated 9-1-1. And let me set the record clear here, folks. I'm not talking against Jews when I talk about the Israeli Mossad. The Israeli Mossad are Zionists, they're criminals, and they are harmful to ordinary rank-and-file Jews. I want you people to understand that. But anyway, Billy said to me, Artie, I'm afraid to even ask why you call my house. And I said, well, Billy, I would like a little favor of you. I want you to get me the spy satellite pictures made by the National Security Agency of those two so-called planes flying into the World Trade Center tower building. And Billy said to me, what in the devil do you mean so-called planes? Are you trying to tell me that no planes flew into those buildings? And I said, that's right, Billy. They were scalar hologram images. They were a high-tech light show. It was a pretty good little scam that Daddy Bush and the Clintons did, but it backfired on them. And then I called him 3 weeks later, and I said, have you got that the group of pictures that I wanted from you? And he said, Artie, just knowing you is going to get me fired from my job. Anyway, they had his phone bugged, and I'm sure they had my phone bugged, too. But just bear in mind that it was traitors inside the United States government that did this monstrous crime. Now, one thing also, I heard Giuliani say the other day that they had ordered 100,000 body bags from a company in New Jersey to put the dead in, the dead bodies. Well, it seems that they used up 40,000 of the body bags, according to Giuliani, and they wanted to return the other 60,000 bags and get money for it. Well, they told us there was only 2,600 people killed in the two towers coming down, and how could they have used up 40,000 bags if that was the truth? What do you think of that, Dr. Carley?
Well, I certainly have no answer for that question, but it's truly amazing the number of questions that come up as all of us that are, you know, investigating the situation continue to share our information with each other. I want to thank you so much for calling in, Artie, and ask Andrew Johnson, what does he think about what he just heard?
Well, I found that extremely interesting, and I think it's a very valuable sort of addition to the discussion here, you know, today. And I'd like to thank Artie, you know, enormously for what he's been doing, because I think he's really added a very important part of the picture there. Now, you know, just from my own perspective, I've only sort of looked at the hologram technology just a very little bit, and I haven't really, you know, I don't know the things that Artie obviously knows, but taking, you know, everything that I've looked at, you know, and the confusing witness accounts and the strange TV images, you know, I can't really argue with anything that Artie said, and also the other things, you know, with regard to the Mossad and that type of deal. I've looked at this type of involvement in 9/11 a bit as well, quite, and it keeps coming up whichever way you look. You can't escape it, and I'm pretty convinced that basically, you know, what Artie said is pretty much on the money, basically.
Well, I totally concur, and of course, Dr. Wood refers to the image that we see on television of the plane pretty much melting into the building as the Roadrunner image, and that's a very good way to think of it, as we all see on TV when the Roadrunner cartoon, the Roadrunner is able to do all kinds of strange things, and all you see is that little you know, cutout of him after he's done whatever he's done, going at his lightning speed, going through different things.
Dr. Carley, you mentioned a few minutes ago about the powder that was all over Manhattan Island.
Yes.
I want to say one more thing about that.
Okay.
They used some kind of a machine unknown to the American people that was in the number 7 World Trade Center tower building. That machine projected out some kind of a powerful beam, either a sound or some kind of electronic beam that actually turned both those buildings into powder. It's something that the American people know nothing about. It's an advanced technology. I have a picture, if anybody is interested in getting the CD and DVD, of a beam that weighs several hundred tons turn into powder in less than 5 seconds time. You can see the effect of the machine. And, of course, they blew down the number 7 building with controlled demolitions. It was totally on the ground, and they trucked that off supposedly to China and Taiwan. Actually, you'll find, if you looked at spy satellites, that it was dumped in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Anyway, that's basically what I have to tell the people about 911, ma'am.
Well, thank you very much, and that's what we were talking about at the beginning of the show, is that, in fact, you just used the term controlled demolition, but from what you said, that's not really what you mean. That I agree with you, there was some kind of a weapon. And
yes,
certainly,
ma'am.
It's
well,
very likely that it did come from World Trade Center 7. Why would they have brought that building down? And that's
right.
What we're talking about, these directed energy weapons. There's no question that that's what turned the towers into dust. And it sounds to me, Andrew, like Dr. Wood and especially Dr. Morgan Reynolds need to get a hold of Artie's information as well.
Dr. Reynolds is a pretty sharp boy. I want to say, ma'am, that they blew down the 1 and 2 towers with controlled demolitions. They were worked in there. You could hear them exploding. But they turned the buildings into powder with this mystery machine, which I do not know what it is at the present time, but I think somebody in the military service will probably squeal on them. If anybody is out there listening in the military service, I want you to squeal on the government and tell us what that machine is that they turned those buildings into powder with. And I have a strong suspicion, ma'am, it took a tremendous megajoulage of electrical energy to power that machine or machines. I think that the machine was in Rudolph Giuliani's office or close thereabouts. Giuliani is one of them that was heavily involved in 911. He is a scumbag traitor. He needs a firing squad. And that's basically what I have to tell you folks out there in radio land and internet land.
Okay, thank you for calling, Artie. I hear the music. We'll be right back after the break, and I'll let Andrew comment on Artie's closing comments. Thank you so much, Artie. God bless you. Keep up the good work. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is Disinfo Specialist with my special guest, Andrew Johnson from the UK. And we had Artie Wheeler on the line before talking about the holographic images and whether or not they had the directed energy weapon in Building 7 or Giuliani's office or wherever. We will never know the answer to many of these questions, obviously, but I do encourage all of you to put the following into YouTube. Never seen before, Fox News 5 reports WTC-7 collapsed before it happened. It's an amazing video on YouTube that actually shows the reporters talking about how the World Trade Center 7th building collapsed, and then you see it collapse right in front of you after they said that it already collapsed. So it's really funny how they make these little mistakes, but I just wanted to ask you, Andrew, any comments on anything else that Artie said?
Yeah, there's a few things that are really quite important to address in the latter part of what he said. I'm very much interested in his work on the hologram technology and the possible use of the missile. But just in terms of the missile itself, one has to ask how a missile could make a plane-shaped hole. That would be very difficult for a single missile to make a plane-shaped hole, because we did see that the towers did have plane-shaped holes to sell
right.
The plane stories.
Well,
now,
there's so many possibilities, let me just say. It could have been that the missile was used to make the hologram, and then they had charges in there that were put in place to make a plane-sized hole. Obviously, this whole thing was very complicated.
It was very complicated, but again, we can look at the evidence, and we can find out, I think, more than some people think is possible. Because if we look at Dr. Wood's research into the magnetometer data, we see that there is actually a change in the Earth's magnetic field at the exact time that this first hole appeared in the first tower. And you can actually see about 10 seconds before the Earth's magnetic field dipping before this hole is made. And the video that I sent you today, where we see this puff of smoke in the other tower which isn't hit, when this supposed plane hits, we see a puff of smoke just in one place on the other tower, and a puff of flame in another place on the other tower. And this, coupled with the magnetometer data, is strongly suggestive that they used another type of directed energy to actually make the holes. Now, there may have been a missile and there could well have been holograms involved as well. I haven't studied that so much, so I'm not as confident, perhaps, as speaking about it as Artie is.
Yes, and I just want to mention that you can access Andrew's YouTube video. Oops, sorry, folks, I had to access it to tell you what you have to type into YouTube. What made the holes in the WTC towers? If you put that into YouTube, you can watch the video that he's put on YouTube that he's speaking of about the puff of smoke coming out simultaneously from the other building while the one building is being hit with an alleged plane.
Fantastic, yes. I mean, if people can watch that, they'll see exactly what I'm meaning.
Yes, okay. We have a couple more callers still waiting on the line. Sheldon from Tucson, are you there, Sheldon?
Hello, Dr. Carly and Andrew.
Hi, Sheldon.
Yeah, this is an excellent show today. You've, Dr. Carly, you've become one of the most courageous broadcasters in RBN, and I'm hoping that this show doesn't upset John Stapmiller personally.
Well, he's never censored me at all, so I don't think there'll be a problem. What did you want to comment on in terms of the information you've heard so far?
I have a few points I'd like to make. I have also posted a podcast of me and Andrew on my own website, and you folks can go to www.thelightofdayradioshow.com. I've become a sort of a self-appointed activist and a member of this leper colony that's been created. And I'm in full support of Dr. Wood's research, and she has she possesses the credentials, folks, that's necessary to support her legal case and evidence. In regards to the last caller, Artie there, I am also a no-planer, and John Lear is also a no-planer. And John has 40 years of flight experience, and coincidentally, the premier expert, Tom Bearden, who specializes in the research on scalar weaponry, won't go on any show whatsoever point this out because I guess he's in fear of his life, but this would be the man to talk to about scalar weaponry. It's also interesting for Alex Jones to mention a staged UFO event using this holographic technology on the Coast to Coast radio show about 2 months ago when he considers himself a plane hunter. So I thought I'd just throw that out.
Yes, well, in my opinion, Alex Jones is definitely a disinformer. As I said, he's also a disinformer in regards to the cause of autism. So this is what we have to realize. And of course, one of the things you have to start asking yourselves is the people who are getting mainstream media attention, especially, I mean, Alex Jones has been on C-SPAN. Why would they allow somebody who's telling the truth on a government-controlled media situation such as that?
I believe it's because Alex Jones is working for the enemy. He's working for the media to suppress the real evidence.
I agree.
Now, this psychological operations warfare campaign that was launched on 9/11 has been very, very successful into suppressing the existence of Dr. Wood, because I had never heard of her until 3 months ago, thanks to former RBN host Deanne Burley mentioning her. The psychological operations has also been very, very successful into suppressing the reality of Hurricane Aaron, and if you study Aaron's path and the media suppressing it on 9/11 before the towers even disappeared, and the fact that the crew of the International Space Station were even hiding it out of the camera's field.
Okay, we're going to a break. Wait, hold on, Sheldon. We'll come back after the break. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is disinfo specialists who mislead those seeking the truth, with my special guest, Andrew Johnson from the UK. And before the break, Sheldon was discussing Hurricane Aaron, and I want to get into that. But I want to first say, Sheldon, that you are an example of what one person can do, because you have kind of become an unofficial spokesperson spreading the word about Dr. Wood's work. You are the person that emailed me. That's how I found out about her work. And this is why all of you listening have to realize that you can help. You know, we need to get this information out there, and you can kind of test the waters to see who's who in the zoo. If they're not willing to put out the truth, the real information, then who are these people? That's what you have to ask yourself. In regards to Alex Jones, I just wanted to mention one other thing. I listened to Alex Jones for years, and I used to think that, you know, he was a truth teller and was trying to warn us about what's going on. And I think in many cases, He does tell the truth. However, one of his jobs, as far as I'm concerned, is to instill fear. It's all about the fear. They want us to be afraid, folks. They want us to be hiding under our beds. That is not going to solve the problem. We have to tell others what's going on. Once enough of us realize what's actually happening, it's going to change in a heartbeat, because there's more of us than there are of them. And, of course, this also goes in terms of the biological warfare that they're using against us and that they're getting ready to use against us in a massive way with this bird flu vaccine that will cause the bird flu pandemic. But, Andrew, I would like you to just comment on this Hurricane Erin, because that was one of the most amazing things I learned from watching these DVDs, that there was actually a hurricane happening right outside New York during the bringing down of the towers. What is that about?
Well, this is Clinton. It ties back into what we were saying of, I think, of how the buildings were actually destroyed, or potentially how the destruction was controlled, one or the other. What we're talking about is field effects. In other words, if you have a bar magnet and you put a piece of paper on top of it and then drop iron filings and then tap the paper, this is one of the early school projects that you do, or school experiments rather, not a project, and you'll see that the iron filings arrange themselves in lines, and this is showing the lines of the magnetic field around the magnet. When you get an electrical current passing through a wire, you also get a magnetic field around that wire. When you get an electrical storm system with a charge separation between the ground and the cloud, which is what causes lightning, you have, you know, a high charge at the top of the cloud, and then you have a fork of lightning to discharge between the cloud and the ground. That you get a field there, an electrical field, so you have a field effect around it. And when you have a very large storm like a hurricane, or a smaller but powerful storm like a tornado, you get lightning and field effects around it. Now, looking at what Dr. Wood has uncovered, I agree with her that the hurricane provided a field component for the weapon which destroyed the towers. Now, we're not saying it was the power source. This is what the disinformers will tell you. We have Jim Fetzer saying, oh, so Hurricane Erin was the power source, was it? No, we never said that. Dr. Wood's never said it, and I've never said it. We've said that it's a field component of the weapon, because we're talking about interference. And this takes me back to an earlier point of, we can know a little bit about the weapon. We know that it works from field effects because they interfere different types of energy. One of the components seems to have been a beam, and it seems to have been a beam from above, because we've got circular holes in some of the buildings. That was one of the first characteristics that Dr. Wood sort of focused on, which showed that it was directed energy and not explosives.
And there was a huge hole in the street right outside the tower,
correct,
as well. I think
correct.
You said 60 feet deep, which has nothing in it. So that's another huge red flag.
So did we have bombs in the street as well as bombs in the building? Now, and again, going back to what Artie was saying, if you have this advanced weapon which can turn buildings to powder, why would you need to plant bombs in the building? I tend to go along with what Dr. Wood has explained, in that everything that has an explosive sound isn't a bomb. If you put an egg in a microwave oven and switch it on to full power for a couple of minutes, you'll hear an explosion sound. But it doesn't mean there's a bomb in your microwave oven. It means there was an egg in there. We think that that the explosions could have been exploding pressurized tanks, such as fire extinguishers or some of these turbo toilets. So, and the other interesting thing is that when Dr. Wood had posted a study regarding World Trade Center 7 and how that basically seemed to dissolve over the course of the day, the 3 days after she first started to post the beginnings of that study, we had Barry Jennings come out with his story of walking around in the building and hearing bombs come out, hearing the sounds of the bombs, you know, as he was coming out. So why did this story come out 3 days after Dr. Wood had posted this study, when Barry Jennings had presumably had this story for several years? Because Dr. Wood didn't post her World Trade Center 7 study until, I think, 2007, so almost over 18 months ago. So why did Barry Jennings hang on to this explosives in 7 story until 18 months ago? Why didn't he tell it when, you know, all the other stories were coming out about the William Rodriguez stories and all those guys? You know, so this is again where we're seeing that the pattern of information coming out seems to be to manage, you know, the level of confusion among people and herd them down certain alleyways, which they can then lead off into a ditch. This is what we've, you know, Dr. Wood and I have been discussing on several occasions. And for example, what they've done with the World Trade Center 7 NIST report. Everyone has said, oh, Building 7 was destroyed by a controlled demolition. NIST have said, no, it wasn't. And so a lot of people have now been, you know, led into a certain pen, which has been closed with the publication of the NIST report. And that's their final word. But NIST, by their own language on the Building 7 study, have effectively hung themselves, because they said in the report that it was virtually a silent event. There was virtually no sound as the building came down. Therefore, it cannot have been controlled demolition with bombs, because all the videos they analysed had no sound and they could hear conversations down the street. So how was the building silently destroyed? If it had fallen down due to fire, then you would have had hundreds of thousands of tons of steel girders clanging to the ground and making these huge banging noises. But none of this was heard. The only explanation, as I see things, is that the building was dissolved during the course of its destruction, because that is the only way you get virtually no seismic signature, which was something like 0.63 or something. And you get no sound.
In other words, it was justified like the towers were.
Not quite like the towers were, but we think it was the same sort of weapon that did it. And we think these stories of bombs in the building are timed disinformation. Now, you know, because again, if you got the technology to turn a building to dust, why are you going to plant bombs in there, which is going to take a whole lot of effort, a whole lot more cover up, when there's no real need for doing it? You know, maybe there was a couple of bombs in the basement to lead people down the controlled demolition route. Maybe they managed to get one or two in there. But I don't think there were many more than that, because there's not enough evidence that there were, when you actually look at all the evidence, you know, just besides the sounds of explosions, which can be caused by other things which are not bombs.
Yes, and in regards to the hurricane, of course, they can use the High Frequency Auroral Resonance Research Project. The biggest one that I'm aware of is that's in Alaska, to create the hurricane. And the hurricane had a very interesting path, as Dr. Wood explains on her
correct.
DVD, how it started to come in and then it just kind of went off to sea, correct?
That's correct. If you look at the path, it basically goes past Bermuda and then it more or less goes in a straight line right up to New York City. It's closest to New York City at about 8 o'clock in the morning. The wind speed is constant for 24 hours. The barometric pressure is constant for 24 hours. The humidity does strange things. You get unusual fluctuations in the Earth's magnetic field. And the next day, the hurricane makes a right-hand turn and goes out to sea. So it's almost like it was called to order, it did its work, and then it moved off.
And no mention of it in the mainstream media at all.
Virtually,
I mean, since when
not.
Don't we have hurricane warnings when there's a hurricane coming?
That's right. I mean, you know, things like the storm surges could have posed a threat to New Yorkers, you know, with the flooding of the low-lying areas, you know, and obviously a lot of potential insurance risk, you know, businesses at risk in New York from the storm swells, not reported at all.
Yeah.
So that in itself is extremely suspicious, even if you take away all of the other controversial things that we've been discussing on this program today.
Exactly.
You know, just look at the hurricane data and you'll see it's extremely, you know, suspicious, basically. Whether HAARP was used to move the hurricane, I don't know. I don't really know enough. I don't have any specific evidence which would say that. I tend to feel myself, and this is just speculation, I don't actually have any evidence, that it was some other type of weapon. I suspect myself that there is stuff in orbit that is involved with doing this. HAARP may have played, you know, some role in manipulating the energy balance or something, or shifting the energy around, which is what it can do. But whether it actually created or moved Hurricane Erin, I really can't say myself with any level of confidence.
Nor can I. But my only point is that people have to become aware of all of these
correct.
Things that our government is developing and using against the people, and we
right.
are paying for this. And
that's
and
right.
we have to just say no. Because all of these things, even the HAARP machine, can be used for good purposes.
Yes.
And that's what should be done. And the free energy technology can be used to erase our need for oil and electrical lines and all of these other things. Okay, we still have other callers on the line. I just wanted to ask Sheldon if he has any closing comments.
Yeah, I wanted to throw a few things in there, but I didn't want to interrupt. I did want to point out that I find a lot of credibility in the work that Professor Jim McCanny has done. He mentions that the these hurricanes can be steered around with these satellites from orbit using lasers, which shoots down, charges up the electrical path in the ionosphere. So I thought I'd throw that in. And also, if Dr. Wood is so incorrect, why has she been so viciously attacked?
Well, that's my whole point about attacking the messenger. Same as why did the medical board find that I have a delusion of conspiracy? I mean, that's what people have to start asking themselves. When people cannot refute the evidence that's put before them, but they attack the messenger, the answer is self-evident as to why that's happening.
I mean, I watched this one video online where this one man, he uses profanity throughout the video attacking Judy Wood. Well, if she's so incorrect, you know, that's called an ad hominem attack. That's pretty vicious. And this show is that you're doing, Dr. Carley, it's not designed to attack the disinformation agents in the 9/11 controlled truth movement, but this is a show designed to expose the truth on the war criminals, which happens, unfortunately, to include a lot of experts, including talk show hosts. But the truth here is so important because whomever is behind this and the weapon that they have used to disappear the towers has the ability to turn our planet into another asteroid belt, and they could be using this on our cities in the future, and they would use the cover story that there were nuclear weapons that went off. So it's just, you know, this ain't about attacking other people. This is designed to get the truth out.
Well, I agree with you. As far as the disinformation people, what I said about them at the beginning of the show is the problem that I have is that they're causing confusion. And they're dividing and conquering the people by leading them down paths, as Andrew said, that lead to nowhere. So that's why we have to expose them. We have to shine a light on them. We have to.
It's so apparent there's disinformation operatives in this 9/11 controlled truth movement because there's so much divisiveness in it. So I think you're absolutely correct there.
Yeah.
And I've also told Dave Von Kleist privately on the phone two times about Hurricane Aaron, but as far as I know, he still hasn't covered it. And, you know, there's a lot of other people out there that don't want to talk about Hurricane Aaron, like Alex Jones, Dr. Deagle, Sophia Smallstorm, David Griffin, Robert Bowman, Stephen Jones, and Willie Rodriguez. They're just, all these people are trying to conceal this hurricane.
And that's a problem.
I call these people hurricane hiders.
Well, like I said, we never even heard that there was a hurricane, so I'm sure that's news to many of our listeners. Okay, thank you for calling, Sheldon. We have two other people waiting on the line. I'd like to try to get to them. Melody from Colorado, are you there?
Hello?
Hello.
Yes?
Go ahead.
Okay. I have a question. One of the things that was said by Mr. Wheeler was something about a sound. And one of the things that I've never heard anybody address, maybe it has been and I've just missed it, but during the one of the films that has been shown a number of times, when one of these a man was walking around photographing in the streets and had all the paper and dust flying around, there was this really strange noise, whistling sound. And I've never heard anybody describe an answer for that or even bring it up, really.
Okay, do you have any comments on that, Andrew?
I haven't actually heard that particular video, and I don't know exactly when it happened. I would be interested to know exactly when it happened, because it could be associated with the spontaneously exploding cars. One of the other bits of evidence that few people are aware of is the, for example, we have Dr. Woods uncovered a little clip of a car in a nearby parking lot which was bursting into flames before either of the towers came down.
Mm-hmm.
And we think this is a side effect of what is called the Hutchison effect, which we think is the technology on which this weapon is based, this field interference technology, because we've seen that John Hutchison has created spontaneous fires in some of his experiments. And these are not normal fires. They're cold fires. They're some type of, you know, it's not really combustion in the normal sense. It's some other type of reaction which looks like fire but isn't. And if you read Patricia Ondrovich's testimony, I know I'm going off the point of what the caller said, but I think it sounds to me like it could be related, so this is my best answer. Patricia Ondrovich's testimony of her walking down the street and three or four cars exploding as she was walking down the street. So there's no explanation for these things. You know, did they plant the bombs in the cars as well? You know, but we think what we're looking at is field effects, which affected the surroundings as well as the buildings themselves, and the effects on the surroundings were somewhat different to the effects on the buildings.
Exactly. Okay, thank you so much for that question, Melody. We have somebody else waiting on the line. CJ from Missouri, are you there, CJ?
Yes, Dr. Carley, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question. Since it appears that the scalar hologram image with a tomahawk inside of a tomahawk missile was responsible for taking down the towers.
No, that's not what he's saying. It's responsible for the hologram.
Hologram.
Yeah, the tomahawk had the hologram within
it. Right, but then what happened to the aircraft and the people?
Well, that's the whole point. The aircraft was a hologram. There was no aircraft.
Yes, but what happened to the actual aircraft, Flight 11 and Flight 77?
Well, this is addressed on the DVDs that I have. Apparently, those aren't even actually logged into the books as official aircraft. We'll have to get back to that after the break. That's a very good question. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today has been disinformation specialist, especially in regards to 9/11, with my special guest, Andrew Johnson from the UK. And this is going to be a very short segment, Andrew, and I want to thank you so much for being on the show. Let me just mention his website is checktheevidence.com. You also need to check out Dr. Wood's website at drjudywood.com. In closing, could you just address CJ's question in regards to what happened to the aircraft, or were there ever any aircraft to begin with?
Well, my basic conclusion is that the whole of the stories about the planes were actually fabricated. If you go onto Dr. Morgan Reynolds' website, which is www.nomoregames.net, and there's a link on the left which says 9/11 in the left hand side. Click on that and then scroll down to on the page that appears to what planes, and in this you will see the evidence that one of the key bits of evidence is that for two of the planes they weren't registered to fly on 9/11. So the planes that were allegedly were crashed, two of them weren't actually scheduled to fly on that day. And the other two weren't registered as destroyed until, I think, 2 or 3 years after 9/11. So, normally after an air accident, I think these are usually dealt with very promptly, you know, within sort of 24 hours.
Yeah.
Other problems, for example, with the passenger lists. We have different passenger lists issued by different news media organizations. None of the hijackers appeared on any of the passenger lists that were issued. No film of any hijackers getting on the planes. No witnesses to their boarding. If you read the study by Elias Davidson from Iceland and look at that study, you'll see there's no evidence of any hijackers getting on the planes. The stories of passengers, the Mark Bingham story, for example, he rang up and he said, "Mum, this is Mark Bingham," you know, when he rang his mother reportedly. So all these stories, very, 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 very shaky indeed when you actually go into the details of them.
Yes. In other words, he called his mother and he used his last name when he's telling his mother who he is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All these people, all the families of these people that were allegedly killed in 9/11. Did that include the alleged families of the alleged passengers on the alleged planes, or was that just the people that were in the towers when they were paid off?
My understanding is that if you, this is not an area I've researched into a great deal, so I can't speak with much authority. But my understanding is that the stories of the passengers being killed on planes, if you try and speak to the relatives of those victims, my understanding is that those people are very much more reluctant to talk about what what they've experienced than those who have lost people in the towers or in the aftermath of the destruction, you know, with the all the health problems.
Mm-hmm.
That's my understanding, but I haven't done a formalized study of that, as I've tried to do with the witness accounts of the plane crashes at the World Trade Center, or the second plane crash anyway. So you know, you've really got to do a bit more digging to try and uncover what the truth is behind the plane's passenger stories, you know, and there's a lot of confusion.
Well, there's so many lies involved here, and I just want to give a quote from a movie I watched recently called Doomsday. With a lie this big, we can get away with anything we want. And that's obviously what they've done with 9/11. There are so many aspects to this. What we need to do, folks, is to continue to investigate and to spread the word. Please tell others about this show so they can listen to the archive. It should be up by the later today. And once again, I'd like to thank you so much, Andrew. This was an excellent show. God bless you for what you're doing, and please keep spreading the word in the UK as well.
I will do. Thank you very much, and the same to you.
Okay. See you next week, folks. Bye-bye.